Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Next week, we're starting a brand new series called It's Complicated. We're going to talk about relationships, and they're hard. So how do we do better with our friends, in our marriages, with our kids, our coworkers? It's complicated, but God has some incredible practical wisdom for us, and God's wisdom for relationships has changed my life, and it will change yours. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll be here for It's Complicated. But this is Super Bowl weekend. The Super Bowl is the biggest game of the year. Or is it? We've been in a series called Life Hacks, winning in the biggest game of all. And we're saying that no, life is the biggest game of all. That's the game that really matters. That's the game we need to win. So are there strategies we can use to help us win in life? And what mistakes should we avoid making to make sure that we don't lose? Today, as we conclude our series, I want to tell you about two of the most infamous football bloopers ever. The reason I want to tell you about these two football bloopers is because they represent two of the most infamous people bloopers ever. These bloopers illustrate why so many people lose in the biggest game of all. I would say maybe the two biggest reasons why we might lose. The first infamous blooper was made by Alan Page, a Minnesota Viking. Let's watch the play.
Looking, does, stops, throws, completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Marshall is running the wrong way, and he's running it into the end zone the wrong way. Thinks he scored a touchdown. He scored a safety. His teammates were running along the far side of the field, Russ, trying to tell him to go back.
Oh, he ran the wrong way and scored a touchdown for the wrong team. Now, obviously, he didn't mean to run the wrong way. And watching the play, you can kind of see how it happened. The play got confusing, right? The runner spins around. The runner is facing the wrong direction when he fumbles the ball. The ball is bouncing. Alan Page picks up the fumble, and he's confused. He just doesn't know that he's confused. So he runs in the wrong direction. And what I found is that life can be just like that. Obviously, no one ever means to run the wrong way. No one ever deliberately moves in the wrong direction. But even still, they do. And watching life, you can kind of see how it happens. Life gets confusing. We get spun around. We've got all this stuff bouncing in front of our eyes, like advertisements and TV commercials and billboards. What's advertised? You can have a great body, great looks, great money, a great car, great sex, great party, great food, great vacations, and a great widescreen TV. And so what do we want in life? Well, great looks, a great body, a great car, great sex, great food, a great vacation, and a great big screen TV. Honestly, that's probably what most of us think about most of the time. It's what we're working for. That's what we're running after. But think about this. What if you got what you wanted? But let's say you got all that. And what if when you die, that's what's told about you in your obituary? Like you're dead, and the next day in the newspaper, 3 days later at the funeral, your life is summed up with what you really wanted and got. Like seriously, what if what's said about you at your funeral or put on your tombstone is, he drove fast cars and dated fast women. She had a fine figure, a thick head of hair, and wonderfully white teeth. He had the biggest TV in his neighborhood. That's his life. She went on really nice vacations and ate at the best restaurants. No one will ever down a beer bong like he did. She earned hundreds of thousands of dollars all while working at home. If that's what your life accomplished, you'd feel ashamed. If that's how your life was summed up, the people closest to you would be so embarrassed. That's not what we want said about us after we live. But is that what you're really living for? We'd never say it was, but is it what we really want? Is it the bigger house, the better body, the nicer car, lots of sex, vacation, party? Are you running in the wrong direction? And is it possible you'll get what you want only to realize you scored a touchdown in the wrong end zone? There's a guy in the Bible who reminds me of Alan Page. He reminds me of us. This guy had the same kind of wish list we do, and he got it. He's been called the rich young ruler. His story is told in the Bible in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23, and in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. You can check it out. So this guy was rich. We all want to be rich. He was successful and had power. We all want success and power. He had it all the things the commercials and billboards promote. He had it all, but even still, he knew something was missing. And so one day he came to Jesus. He came seeking, but not even sure what he was seeking. And he asked Jesus, "What do I need to do?" Kind of like, "I know there's more. Something's missing. What is it?" Why? He had it all. Why did he still feel like something was missing? Because he had been running in the wrong direction. And so Jesus invites this guy to follow, to put his faith in Jesus and become a follower of his. By the way, that's the right direction. Like Jesus was once asked, "What is it that God's looking for from us? What are we supposed to do?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And that's what life is all about. And we know that, right? I mean, because honestly, isn't that what you want said about you at your funeral? Like you want the pastor to say, "He really loved God and he really loved people." Or, "She was just the kind of person you could see in everything she did that she truly loved God and loved people." Right? I mean, honestly, isn't that the life you want to be remembered for? The life that you really want to live? If that's what your life accomplished, you'd be proud. If that's how your life was summed up, the people closest to you would smile. But is that what you're really living for? Really? So Jesus invites this rich young ruler to follow, to step into this love God, love people kind of life. And the rich young ruler said, no. Why? Because he realized he would have to give up all his stuff, all the stuff he had bought from watching those commercials and seeing those billboards. If to follow Jesus, to really love God and love people, he had to give all that up? No. And we're told that he went away sad. Why? Because he knew he was missing something, but he had just said no to the very thing he was missing. And so as he left, continuing to run in the wrong direction, he knew that he would always feel empty, and the best he could ever hope for was to score a touchdown in the wrong end zone. So it's Super Bowl weekend, and much more importantly, we're each playing the biggest game of all. We are each living a life, and we are going in a direction. Are you going in the wrong direction? It would be understandable. Life is confusing. There's lots of commercials and billboards, and the stuff we're going after isn't bad, right? A promotion, a nice TV or a vacation, they're not bad. They're just not worth giving your life to. If you get some of that stuff, great. But you don't want to live your life for that. You want to live your life following Jesus, devoting yourself to loving God and loving people. If not, our life's a blooper. And that will become obvious when our life is over. So let's choose to go in the right direction, to follow Jesus, to love God and love people. Well, I promised you two infamous football bloopers. Let's check out the second. Here's the situation. It happened in Super Bowl 27, Dallas Cowboys against the Buffalo Bills. Leon Lett, like Alan Page, scooped up a fumble. But unlike Alan Page, Leon Lett ran in the right direction. But watch this.
On fourth down to throw. Pressure sacked by Jeff Kane. And fumble. And Leon Lett picks it up. Oh, look at it. Here he goes. Here comes the Leon. To the 20. Go, Leon. It's a fumble. It's a fumble. He had it knocked out of his hand. He was hot-dogging and held it out at the two-yard line. And from behind, the Bills came and knocked it out of his hand.
It's not going to be a touchdown.
No, it's not. Don Beebe caught him from behind.
No. He ran the right direction, but he didn't get there because he stopped paying attention too soon. He lost his focus before he accomplished his goal. That was a football play, and it was in the biggest game, but it was just a football play. But so many people make the same mistake in the biggest game of all, life. A lot of people start moving in the right direction. They choose to follow Jesus, to love God and love people, but then something happens. They get pulled away by bad influences or just start taking it easy, or maybe most common, they get distracted. There are a lot of people's stories in the Bible that go like this. In the Old Testament, the part of the Bible before Jesus came, there's a guy named Solomon, another guy named Saul. In the New Testament, I think of Judas, people who started on the right path, but then something happened. And there are lots of people's stories today that go like this. I've been in ministry now for about 25 years, and I can think of hundreds of people I know who start out on this path of following Jesus, loving God, loving people, and then they just stopped. They don't usually decide to stop. It just happens. I do think we have to decide not to stop, that there is a great chance we will stop unless we decide not to. So we have to make the decision that we're going to run in the right direction until we cross into the end zone. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul, and he made that decision. He wrote, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race." He's saying, my life will be worthless if I don't run all the way to the end zone. And then right at the end of his life, Paul wrote, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." He's saying, man, I did it. My life is over and I didn't stop. I followed Jesus. I was devoted to loving God and loving people all the way to the end. And that's what I want to be able to say at the end of my life. That's what I want you to be able to say. And so the question is, how do you keep yourself going in the right direction? Well, let me tell you this. It's not by willpower. It's not by gritting my teeth and I promise I'm going to be faithful to God. No. That doesn't work. No, you keep yourself going in the right direction through connection. You go in the right direction through connection. Our goal at Verve is to make all of this simple, to make it doable, because it is doable. And so we've created this simple strategy. We say it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. It's our 1, 2, 3 strategy of having the connections that will keep you going in the right direction. The 1, 2, 3 strategy will help you to grow as a person. It will help you to love God and love people more, and it will keep you going in the right direction for your whole life. In Next Step, which is a fun, interactive class we offer every Sunday morning, we equip you to really live out this 1, 2, 3 strategy. But right now, I'm just going to give you kind of an overview of it, but go to Next Step to really download it. And as you hear it right now, I want to encourage you, don't just listen to this 1, 2, 3 strategy. Don't just agree with it. Choose to live it. The strategy is connection with 1 God, 2 communities, 3 people. 1 God, 2 communities here at church, and 3 people outside of church. So the whole strategy is about connection. 3 areas of connection. 1, 2, 3, or for my Spanish-speaking friends, 1, 2, 3. Trace. So 1 God who I'm staying connected to. See, it's not just about faith in God or belief in God. It's about staying connected to God. Staying connected to God is what keeps me focused and what gives me the power to keep moving in the right direction all the way into the end zone. How can you stay connected to God? You can read the Bible. Like every day, just take a couple minutes every day to read the Bible. When you read the Bible, what you're doing is you're connecting with God. And we make it easy for you by giving out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar and by creating a Bible reading plan every year. The Bible reading plan gives you 1 chapter to read a day, just about every day. Sometimes it's 2, just a few minutes. And we give you some background information and application questions for it. You can get all of that at vervecatalyst.org. It's most helpful if you subscribe. If you subscribe, you'll get an email every morning telling you the chapter to read that day and giving you the background information and the questions. How can you stay connected to God? Well, by praying throughout your day. And prayer is just talking to God and listening for God. So throughout your day, you do your day with God. He's with you, and so you just pay attention to Him. And you talk to Him about whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're thinking. You also stay connected to God by going to church every week, making it a priority to be here, not just when it's convenient, but every week. Why? Because being here keeps you connected to God. And you can stay connected by giving generously back to God. The Bible says we may not realize this, but our hearts are connected to our money. And when we give to God, it connects us to Him. So, one God who I stay connected to, and two communities here at church I stay connected to. One is a Verve group, which is a group of friends that I meet with once a week. A Verve group gives me people to do life with. A Verve group gives me encouragement and support, which helps me to keep going in the right direction all the way. Verve groups are probably the best and the most important thing we offer for adults at Verve. These groups are made up of usually 6 to 16 people. Most groups meet once a week. Some meet right here at Verve, some meet in coffee shops or in living rooms. You get to choose the group that you want to be a part of. You can choose based on the day of the week it meets, or the time that it meets, or the place, the area of town where it meets, or whether you want to be in a guy's group, a women's group, a mixed group, a couple's group. We've got all kinds of groups. We do 2 group semesters a year, so all the groups start brand new twice a year, and our brand new spring semester starts this week. So today is your last day to sign up to be there for the launch of that brand new group. And you can choose a group today. You can sign up today at the Velcro Bar. I hope you will. You'll be so glad you did. So, 2 communities here at church, a Verve group and a Verve team. A Verve team is where I volunteer and serve at this church, and I do it in a team. A Verve team, it gives my life purpose, it allows me to make a difference, and being on that team keeps me focused so I don't become a blooper. One God, 2 communities here at church, and 3 people outside of church I'm staying connected with. And I'm connected to them because I want to help them get connected to God. These are 3 people I've chosen that I care about, and so I want them to experience what I'm experiencing. And having this 3, it gives me compassion and direction and allows my life to have eternal purpose. Earlier, we saw the first half of Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race." Here's the whole verse. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." For the guy who wrote that, Paul, the race, the Super Bowl, was sharing God's love with others, getting other people, people outside of church, connected to God. And we encourage you to focus on doing that with 3 people. Choose your 3. So, the deal is, we don't want our tombstone to say, "Whoops." We want to go in the right direction and go all the way. If you want to do that, but your plan is to do it on your own, right? Like self-help, willpower, it's not going to work. It will only work if you stay connected. 1, 2, 3. Or for my French-speaking friends, un, deux, trois, I think. Connected to 1 God, 2 communities here at church, 3 people outside of church. You know, sometimes when we hear a message like this, I think sometimes we think, yeah, all that sounds good. I agree. I just never lived that way. And so I think it's too late for me. No, it is not too late for you. You can do this. We had a guy who showed up at Verve some years ago named Gary. Gary was in his mid-40s. He had lived his life for the party, for money. He never believed in God, had no interest in church, but he heard a couple of Verve radio ads and he was curious, so he showed up. At Verve, Gary learned that there was a God who loved him even if he didn't feel lovable and hadn't lived a very good life. Gary gave his life to that God eventually, and he started following Jesus, and it was all brand new to him, but he devoted himself to loving God and loving people. And he knew he could not do it on his own, so he stayed connected. He read the Bible and prayed every day, got in a Verve group, served on a Verve team. And then Gary had a heart attack in the middle of the night, and he died. Man, when I got that call, it felt like one of the worst things ever. But doing his funeral felt like one of the best things ever. I've done funerals where I'm searching for something good to say about this person, where I ask the family and they have to search to find anything good to say about this person. But with Gary, I shared how he would go to nursing homes and hang out with sick elderly people who didn't get visitors, how he started bringing food to homeless people and it led to a homeless ministry. I got to share how he shared God's love with people at the casino he worked at, how there were people today who believed in Jesus because of Gary. It was the coolest thing. And isn't that the kind of thing you want said about you at your funeral? He really loved God and he really loved people. And she was the kind of person who you could just see in everything she did. She truly loved God and she truly loved people. Listen, you can. That could be said of you. You just have to choose. First, to go in the right direction. Let's make a commitment. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to love God and people. And second, to stay connected to one God, two communities here at church, three people outside of church. You can do that. You really can. And if you do, you will win in the biggest game of all. Let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us. And man, most of us have not lived our lives the way we've wanted to or the way you've wanted us to. But you are a God who gives second chances. And today we have a decision. Which way do I want to run with my life? Which end zone do I want to head for? God, getting some stuff in life, getting some raises, some nice cars, big TV, nice vacation. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. Hopefully we get some of that. But God, it's not worth giving our lives to. And if we live our lives for that, when we die, man, our lives are not going to be spoken of very well at our funerals. God, we want to live life for you. We want to love God and love people. Help us to do that and help us stay connected so that we keep going all the way to the end zone. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.